Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and thank you so much for joining us on air this wonderful, beautiful day. I can't even remember when, but all of a sudden I noticed somebody's writing on Facebook, and I connected with this man. And lo and behold, we share a lot of things in common, like similar ideas in writing and also our birthday. Hamad Mansi is in Egypt, and I've been reading his work, and he has a wonderful book and wonderful blogs, and I just want to thank him so much for being on air in really a short period of time. With everything that's going on in Egypt, I really feel very blessed to get this wonderful writer and visionary on the show. Hello, Hamad. How are you?
Hello, Jennifer. It's really my pleasure to be on this show, especially in the circumstances and through such deep changes in Egypt.
Yes, it truly is. How are things right now in Egypt?
Well, in the neighborhood, of course, everything is fine. But the news, it changes every few minutes. We don't know what's going to happen. We hope for the best, really. We hope that all the efforts that were done, it's going to be done in the right direction, you know. We don't want to be a waste of energy and time.
Well, it's always a step in the right direction, in my view. So I really feel like it's really very fitting, and the time is right for a lot of changes around the world. And Egypt, I think, is a step, just a first in many places that is really going to, people are going to get the clue that they can take some responsibility and some change in their hands and start the process. So to me, it really represents the beginning of some beautiful changes for the world.
Exactly.
So you wrote a beautiful, it's about what?
It's about time that the treasures entombed inside Egypt, that it's revealed to the rest of the world, whether in literature, in science, in anything. But freedom is the first step, really.
So the words can truly get out there. Now, you wrote an article today about your observation and your feelings about the situation in Egypt. Can you talk about a little bit about that and where it's located, where people can find it, first of all, and a little bit about your ideas.
Okay, of course. First, where it's going to be found, I'm going to post it right after the show on my blog, which is Mahmoud Mansi Critic Reviews, about the article. I've been, for the past few weeks, I've been observing the opinions of people, the energy flowing from there, the news, the streets, and all the contradictions. And I've been trying to make one stable opinion or one stable conclusion. Of course, for the first several weeks, I couldn't, because everything was so fast and contradicting. I needed a time phase to make my own personal measurements. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, for the past 30 years, the President Hosni Mubarak ruled Egypt, as we all know. And there are some positive things, which is, as I said in the article, the president was concerned about the external shell of Egypt, while not utilizing all his resources for the internal shell, the flesh inside the shell, which is, of course, more important. So we found Egypt in the Middle East. There have been lots of problems, war, things like that. But Egypt was very stable for 30 years. But inside Egypt, corruption started to build its own roots, okay, and affecting even the citizens, not only the government. So such corruption increased by time, and it started to be unable to be controlled. Okay, so we started to find ourselves being part of a negative system. We started to do the same mistakes. Our minds have been brainwashed, not by a certain being, but by the system. The system is not a human being, but something that it was created. Who created it and how it was created, I don't know actually, but it's a very deep question. So anyhow, I've been writing about democracy, that some of the people have been contradicting one another, some with, some against. I was writing that people should learn to accept one another. That's the first step for change. And that's the most important one, because when the views are different, we can find one view in the middle, not mine, not yours, but a third view in the middle, which is going to be the best for all of us. Or using my intelligence and yours to build a third better intelligence. Okay?
Yes.
So in the end, I suggested that people would focus more on taking action, because Egypt has lost lots of millions in the past few days, and of course lots of billions in the last few years, okay? So it's about time that we work, and each one of us, instead of being in a mechanistic system, they start to find their own creativity and utilize it to the rest of the world, not only to their own selves, not only for getting a salary, but for making a wider range of change. Well, that was the end of the article, this suggestion.
It was a beautifully written article. Now, you have won awards for your writing, and you do have a book out, and it is a wonderful book. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, of course, I'd love to. First, I discovered the talent of writing when I was 16 years, okay? Mm-hmm. How did I start writing? It's a very simple thing, but it's very effective. I had a crush on a girl in school, so I found myself writing a poem, okay? And then I showed the poem to my friends, and they liked it. Then I started writing whatever I felt for several years. I found myself writing lyrics, writing poems, writing thoughts, quotes. And then at the age of 20, I was inspired to write the story, the novel, A Journey from Darkness to Light. I knew nothing about writing stories before. I didn't read much. So I thought, why not give it a try? So I started writing. Of course, when my mood switched, I didn't write. I focused on studying, things like that. Until I finished the story. And it was only 55 pages when I first wrote it, with very simple vocab, very simple language. And I did print it. I just printed and spread it through my friends in college, and people started giving me their feedbacks, constructive feedbacks too. Then I started writing short stories. Then I graduated from college, okay? And at this time, there was a business crisis. And to find a job in Egypt was very difficult. I spent about 1 year home doing nothing. So this year I doing nothing as work, I mean. But in this year, I started self-learning literature. I started reading for several authors. Some are known, some are anonymous. I started writing new things. I started reading literature thesis and PhD, you know. Thus I learned, and there was the dictionary to increase my vocabulary. Then I started rewriting A Journey from Darkness to Light after I learned how to write, okay? Mm-hmm. So the other version is about 230 pages. It's the same story, but I used the simple 55 pages as a seed. And I watched it grow for 4 years until I finished the complete novel and published it in 2010. So, what is native literature? The thing that I write about. In the ancient arts, we find in museums, whether Islamic, in churches, whatever, in the ancient arts, they gathered all kinds of arts in one piece. They gathered in their drawings, the colors. You may find poems drawn within the painting. And such piece of art would reflect a deeper philosophy. You know what I mean?
Yes, so, I do know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean in the ancient days, they utilized all kinds of perfect piece. So in native literature or in the things that I write, I try to gather the things I learned in business, the philosophy, psychology, spirituality, romance, darkness, feelings. I gathered them all in one piece, in one story. And that's what I did in my novel, Journey from Darkness to Light. And that's what I try to do in the rest of my writings. Because I think this is the point of perfection, because life is a blend of fear, it's a blend of beauty, it's a blend of everything. So when I write something the same as life, it's as if I'm copying life into one piece, not copying part of life. Okay?
Yes. Now, I would, if you do not mind, I'd like to read a little bit of something that I'm looking at in your book that is really kind of just a little brief sample of your book, if you don't mind.
Please, yeah, please.
The mind is like a door. A thought is like a guest. It visits the mind for a while and then it leaves. Leave the door open for the desired guest. That is really quite profound. That is like Romanesque. It's very much like Rumi, who would be just that little taste, but yet it's very profound, it's very deep, very inviting and enticing. And that's just like a little sample of this book, which really is eye-opening. And there's a lot of beauty and grace within this. I mean, there's a power within your writing that I found very, very striking. And really, I was drawn to definitely connect with you for many reasons. And reading your book was just like, it was just really inspiring. And there is so many little things that you touch on. It's just a wonderful story. Now, you've mixed a lot of things. Do you want to tell basically, now you touch on a little things. Do you want to touch on the synopsis of the story? What leads the reader through the story?
Oh, yeah, okay. First, I want to say that I suffered so much while writing this book, okay? That some quotes in the middle of the story, each quote was related to something that happened in my personal life. Okay? At this phase of my life, I was in darkness. I was very depressed. And I always searched for logic, okay, out of everything. And the logic was in life. And this was the main reason behind my depression. So I kept tracing the thought that was causing me such dark feelings until I reached a conclusion. And this conclusion, I wrote a quote, okay? And this quote, I found its place inside the story. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes, I already wrote the story, but sometimes I take some quotes that I personally wrote from my personal life and find their way inside the story, and they perfectly fit there. The story is 7 chapters, okay? Because I like the number 7 so much.
It's a very spiritual number.
Yeah.
It's a very spiritual number, I can understand.
And the first chapter is the longest one, because in the introduction of the book, I mentioned that I was speaking directly to the reader, asking him or her to imagine themselves inside a dark room. And this is the symbol of humanity, that we were created and found ourselves in a universe that we know nothing about. This is the dark room. And through the story is our humanity through discovering this dark room, trying to get out of it, trying to reach the light. So the first chapter, which is the longest one, reflected the darkness. So it was very long. It seemed endless, contradicting, too much thoughts, no answers. Same as our path inside the darkness. And of course, the rest of the novel, the rest of the chapters, take you out, pull you from darkness bit by bit. And this book, of course, there are levels of darkness and light, but this book, I believe that, or at least for me, it showed me the technique to find the next step for the light. Because in darkness and light, it's like climbing. Okay, I climbed the first step, I abandoned the darkness of the last step, into the darkness of a new step to reach the light of the other, you know? Like this, you climb. And the beautiful thing about humankind, that they never stop. They never rest in the light. You seek the darkness of the next stage, the higher stage. Then you find the light of it. You conquer it. Then you... And this is the miracle inside us as human beings. Okay, back to the novel. What's the main theme of the novel? I was inspired by my father's death when I was 16 years. So in the novel, the protagonist is called the young man, which is a metaphor, of course, for humanity. The main incidents in the story and the main actions are all internal more than external. Of course, there are external incidents and reactions and dialogues, but the main adventure is inside the character, not outside of it. The journey from darkness to light is a journey of thoughts and feelings. It's not a journey to a physical place. So the story starts by his sitting on the shore, sharing his thoughts with his own self. He always had a normal life, and he never questioned his life. The moment he started to question his life, this is the moment where darkness came, because this was the moment of the truth. So he felt like everything was trying to block him away from the truth. Mm-hmm. And he's digging his way through both, through the circumstances happening and the signs that were sent to him through situations, and through the thoughts and feelings he was through. Until one day he decided to visit a place which was a restaurant by the sea, a very special place that he used to go with his family when he was a child. And he always feared going to this place because it chambered such beautiful feelings that he knew that he'll never have again. So he was afraid to go there to discover his loss. Okay? So, however, one day he decided to confront that, through faith, of course, to visit such a place. I want to say that the story, half of it is fiction, and the other half is non-fiction. Same as life. Life is not 100% fiction and not 100% non-fiction. It's a blend of both.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So when he went to this... Yeah, okay.
No, I was going to say the process of writing, you obviously lived through it as well as writing it. So it has healed many aspects of you, and you have ascended to a better place within your life through the process of writing?
Yeah, yeah. But first, in the beginning, writing caused me a little bit of pain. Okay, because sometimes I wrote about topics that were very sensitive, but I had to write about them to complete the story. Okay, because I want to deliver the... I'm not only writing for satisfying my talent. No, I'm writing for a message so that everyone could perhaps learn from it or get inspired in their own work. But I've reached a level now that writing became my meditation. It became a source of relief rather than a source of pain. Because as I said, if I'm comparing myself to the young man in the story, at first, when I started writing for the sake of the truth, revealing the truth, I felt darkness all around. But in the end of the story, I found light through my writings. So it became my meditation. It became a nourishment for my spirit. Sometimes I wish to be the reader rather than the writer. Yeah.
When I'm writing, I actually feel like I am the reader who happens to be writing. And what I've written many times really blows me away. I'm really amazed at the words that are on the page because I really just, it's like you said, it's like a meditation. I literally go into a trance and it's just my soul is speaking onto the page. And it's like, it's way of communicating to me where I am, where I'm going, how I'm truly doing on this journey that we all choose to be because we're all here for a reason. We're all very unique. We're all very special. We all have a place in this world to really reflect and aid others. We're all here together to work together. And it really is wonderful to connect with people from halfway. You know, you're on the opposite side of the world to me, and yet we are speaking very much a similar language. And the journey is, it goes in a lot of different ways, and your words really do inspire people to look a little deeper. This is not a shallow piece. There's a lot of depth to it. So I think a lot of your heart and soul went into this book, and it might be many aspects of yourself that kind of got channeled through onto the page. So I understand what you mean about being the reader and not the writer. And my guidance has always said, take the other perspective, be the reader, be the people within the story and around the story to give the whole feeling. And I really feel like you have done that, maybe unknowingly, but you really show all the different aspects within your writing.
There is something I want to add to your words. There was a part in the book that I mentioned that anyone can be a writer, okay? Not a writer for the sake of publishing, but I think writing is a healthy deed for anyone. Meaning, in the end of the day, when you sit alone and write your own diary or your own thoughts, your own wishes, what you write on the paper is the pure you. It's who you want to be, or it is who you are, but in the inside. So in the novel, I mentioned that everyone's mission should be the same person who he or she writes about. For example, I imagined myself, you are the hero of your own life or heroine of your own life. When you write about something, you are the protagonist of this thing. Try to take this thing from inside of you to outside to the world and apply it on your own self. Mm-hmm. Like this, you're going to be a real hero and a real heroine, not only a fictional one on your diaries in the end of the day. And there's another thing about writing, a little secret. When you write, I always apply that on myself. When I write, I write about things I've never read about before. I try to imagine what are the things that I've wished to read about but did not find in a book. So I start writing, and this is the source of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's where your own fingerprints will not be similar to any other. Like this, you're going to add something, not a copy from anyone else.
And okay. it makes it wonderful that everybody is slightly different. And you definitely cover that. Now, you mentioned, did you read a lot of different, like, mythologies and philosophies and psychology, different theories before you started writing this book? What was the process of really honing in exactly the way this book kind of went through the process?
Okay. Of course, I read about different kind of literature from diversified cultures. But I found a philosophy, it's inside each one of us. I didn't buy a book of philosophy and read it. I just found it through the way of thinking, through analyzing things. Philosophy is there everywhere. And there's another thing I want to say is that people separate psychology from philosophy. Like each one is a different kind of science. I believe that both are very related. Because psychology is your own science, the science inside you. Philosophy is the science of the universe around you. You cannot separate yourself from the universe. So you must always link between both to understand life. There's another thing. I started reading in Arabic literature and got deep into it because, sadly, lots of our classical books are not translated into English. Some of them were translated into French, but this was about 50 years ago or something. Of course, they are not available worldwide, and they are not even known. So I started reading the Arabic literature. and applying it in my own writings in English to add a new flavor for the readers on the other side of the world. So that they can taste from our philosophy too. Of course, each culture has their own philosophy, their own views. I wanted them to see our philosophy, the native philosophy. And what I mean by native is the nature that God created inside the human beings, the only thing common between all of us. So when I say native, I speak in a language of thoughts and feelings, a language that anyone can understand. Like you just said a while ago, we are in two different places but speaking the same language. That's the language of humanity.
Most definitely. Now, you mentioned, I mean, there. What were some of the theories, the philosophies that you read that haven't been available in English that really caught your interest? I mean, was it just like stories, mythologies of ancient times? Or what was it that kind of got me a little curious about what kind of stories were you talking about?
Okay. First, I don't copy something someone else wrote, unless.
Oh no.
Yeah. I know what you mean. For example, a very simple example from the Holy Quran, for example. Okay. Mm-hmm. From my point of view, and from my own culture, from the way I was raised, and at the same time from the way I have traveled in lots of places in the world, so I do understand the verses, not the way they are, because the miracle in of the holy books that they can be understood through several ways. That's, for example, that's a source of inspiration to me, because that's part of my culture.
Mm-hmm.
Another, you want the names of writers, you mean?
Or at least a little understanding of what the stories were, what the thoughts were within those writings that inspired you or caught your interest, one or the other or both.
Okay, I can give you a simple example, okay?
Okay, great.
For example, I mentioned in the book the part about Prophet Adam eating from the forbidden tree, okay, the forbidden
yes.
fruit. This scenario has been understood in different ways by each religion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I read the understandings of each religion and started to find, to build my own philosophy through it. I suggested that Prophet Adam, when he ate from, why did he eat from the forbidden apple? Okay, because was he bad? Did he wanted to sin? No, I think he lived in heaven. He had the innocence of a child. He knew the meaning of sin. He knew the meaning of the word, like we know words in the dictionary. But he did not feel the meaning of sin. You never know what is a word unless you experience it. For example, you have never been sad before, but if I told you, got you the word sad from the dictionary, you will understand it, but you have never felt it before. So it means nothing to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when he ate from the forbidden apple, he knew the meaning of sin. This is when, that's why it's called the tree of knowledge, because we learned the meaning of sin. Thus, he avoided it for the rest of his life. And this apple, the seed inside this apple, it's planted inside each one of us. If the Prophet, the father of mankind, did not eat from this fruit, we were going to eat from it. Right?
Right.
And if this really happened, if he did not eat from the fruit, like this, the punishment was going to be very harsh on us. But it's from God's mercy that the Father of humanity shared with us the concept of sinning, the meaning of sin. That's an example.
Okay. So with this, do you feel that we, because of the planting of the seed, we are truly here to experience what the tree of knowledge was trying to convey? Or are you saying that it's something that we're supposed to overcome?
Yeah, okay. Of course, it's something we should try to avoid, okay? As he tried to avoid, but his curiosity was far more beyond than that, okay? But after, he never sinned again for the rest of his life. And if any one of us tried, every one of us sins, okay, of course. But the thing is, after you sin, you can either feel guilty about it, repeat it again, and do nothing about it. Or you can get inspired through your sins. This is something I do in my writings. I get inspired through my mistakes, through my sins. I use them as a source of inspiration. And in another story I wrote, when you do this, when you apply this theory, the evil inside you, or the devil, or whatever you call it, is gonna be your slave. You're not gonna be enslaved by your evil. It's gonna be the other way around, because you're using the evil inside you, inspired by it, for making something beneficial, something positive. You know, like in physics, when you convert one kind of energy to another,
right?
Heat energy.
Alchemy.
Into, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Alchemy. So are you saying evil, quote-unquote, is equal to ego?
Ego?
Yeah. Have you heard of the term ego?
Yeah, of course.
So are you saying that, you know, the evil is associated with the ego, and that transferring the, or transmuting through the lessons and taking that lessons and evolving to a better state, so you don't repeat the same thing, is that basically kind of the process you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You don't repeat the same thing, and even if you repeated it, you can get inspired through it. Whether if you're an artist, you're a scientist, you can create a theory out of your own negativity. Can use the negative power inside you to create something positive.
Now, with all this wisdom, I'm just wondering, we're going to go a little bit backwards. I would like to know a little bit more about your background to get to the point you are now. I mean, the writing is, it sounds like it's something you've been doing on the side versus you have a regular profession, which is,
yeah, exactly. Okay. First of all, I studied the IGCSE system, which is a British system. Okay. When I attained college, I studied business. I did not know what did I want in life. I was not mature enough, I guess. But I liked business. I enjoyed my study there. I studied business and graduated from college, and I'm now working from the same university I graduated from in the human resources field, and applying for my master's degree in marketing. I'm almost done. But the balance is the key word, really, because all my concern is about writing. But of course I have to work for gaining money, for gaining my salary, for being able to live, to write. So
at least for the time being, soon your writing will support you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When your writing supports you, you have the right to abandon your first job because you're not going to be a burden on your family, a burden on the society. But until now, you don't have the right to do that.
Not yet, but it's coming quickly. So with the do you have rephrase the way I have noticed the pattern of things that certain experiences in my life really have led up to the point of where I am now. Do you feel that every little bit and piece that you're going along the way is really driving you into one direction and really in a straight direction of what you're supposed to be doing in this life?
Yeah, I believe so. But yeah, still, you are the one in control of your life. Meaning, for example, something happened to you, okay? Whatever this thing is, minor or major. Your reflex action, your personal, your own decision, your reflex action towards this thing is your destiny. Of course, there are some things we can't control, but that's what I mean, the power of choice, your choice. That, the choice that you're gonna be judged for, your reflex. So of course, sometimes the universe leads you to some places, but it leads you with your will because you want to go to this place too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And this is
you've set into you've set your intention and you've set your goal, and the universe says, okay, let's go there then.
yeah, exactly. And that's the link between psychology and philosophy that I was saying about in the beginning, that they can't be separated.
So I've just noticed that definitely I'm not even sure where I set my intentions, but I definitely see how certain experiences and certain things that I've done is really heading in the right direction. Even though I might have taken a few side steps and a side trips here and there, but overall it really is heading in the right direction. I read also that I read or heard this yesterday. I think I heard it in a video on YouTube's that dabbling in different things is really what God wanted us to do because we're supposed to experience life, and so it's good to look at all the different philosophies and make your own decisions on what fits and what doesn't fit. Because it's really kind of experiencing the past and what they thought of at that time and see how it fits into your life. And I found that kind of a very interesting thing because I've always called myself a bit of a dabbler, and part of me felt bad that I really wasn't focused on one thing, but at the same time, I had some wonderful experiences and I have no regrets on my life, but it definitely has helped me with my writing. And with me in my career of being a life coach, because I'm able to kind of put my, I've been in their shoes, so I understand where they're at. I understand their thinking when they go a certain direction. So do you feel that your experiences that you've had is helping you understand the people around you, the people that you're attracting in your life because of your writing, because of your job?
Of course it is, because any kind of experience, if you are an observer, a life observer, they're gonna add benefit to you. But if you are the kind of person who ignores whatever happens, they're gonna be no experience.
So do you feel, did you within this book, just to explain to the audience who hasn't seen your book, and some of your writings, you have a very, it is a very lyrical, it's a very poetic style to your writing. Is have you felt any kind of influence from any specific author that you wrote or any direction of your research within yourself that is really kind of helped develop your style?
Not directly, not that I recall, but of course unconsciously there are things that affect us. But the thing that helped me most, that first, as I told you, I wrote the poetry and lyrics. So in a poem, a poet, you are a poet yourself, you know. In a very few words, you express tons of emotions in a very beautiful way. So if you intend to write a whole story as if you're writing a poem, it's going to be very, it's going to be treasured with feelings. That's the idea. So if you try writing a story, considering that you're writing a poem, focusing on the poetic side too, it is possible. In reading, at some parts, words are like music. So the melody of the words, they're going to affect the mood of the reader. Not only the meanings of the words, but the melody of it.
Yes, I myself feel like the words themselves have an energy all to themselves. And when you join them, it really is a composition of a flowing melody, or you're really, a book has its own tempo, it has its own feeling, each character adds to it. It's like a different instrument within the composition that you're writing in music. And poetry really, for me at least, it's capturing that moment in a few words. It's just the essence, the feelings, the breath of that moment. And I would probably consider myself more of a poet than actually a writer, but I kind of like dabble in both. But my first love is really writing the poetry. It flows through me very easily, and it really does have a great bit of my passion and my heart and soul within it. So do you still write a lot of poetry, or are you more focusing on the more longer pieces?
Well, nowadays, to be honest, I lost the ability of being a good poet. You know, it's been so long when I last wrote a poem. So I think I must try once again and challenge myself. Yeah.
Why do you think you lost it? Don't you think it's just kind of set aside so you can focus on the longer pieces? Because I've got to tell you, writing is very poetic. There is there's definitely a flow to it that's very poetic in my view. So it might not be the standard setup of a poem, but I do think you're still writing some beautiful poetic stuff.
Well, I think you're right that it's about practice. You know, if you're not practicing something, you'll lose a bit of your talent. So maybe I need to practice poetry once again.
I know that you probably, it's, to me, I'm just getting really strongly that it really is very much a part of your soul. Writing is a part of your soul. Now, when you were writing, did you become these characters in your story? Or did you just kind of like be the witness of them?
No, I get affected so much. Yeah. Sometimes I get affected by myself, but then I write about it. And sometimes it's opposite. I write about something and this thing starts to affect me. And I start to become the character. And this is not something bad. It's inspiring when you're writing a novel, because like this, you are part of the novel. And when the character starts affecting you as a person, you will find daily inspiration through situations, through normal conversations, because you're going to speak to people as if you are the other character, not purely yourself. So you will get answers and feedbacks, and you will say words, and I always do that. I say words, then I find myself, these are useful for my novel, and I go add them back. So it's very strange the way you inspire the character that you write about, and the character inspires you back.
Yes, definitely. In my writing, I often feel like it's just another essence of myself kind of coming out to visit when I'm writing. And it's like, how do you do? This is part of you. And it just then it almost like blends deeper within you, because it's like you're acknowledging that essence of you that you might not have otherwise. And in life coaching, that's number one thing. Get a journal, start writing. Because you really get to really know yourself through having that pen in hand and writing on the paper.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, let me tell you something else. When you write lots of stories and the characters affect you, your personality is getting wider. Okay? So that means people who talk to you, who know you so well, they will witness some changes. They will not get bored from these changes. They will. It's like evolution. It's not. It's not something negative. I mean, when you when the character affects. Another thing I to tell you about philosophy. I also wrote it in one of my stories, but I don't remember which one exactly. But philosophy is like a mirror. My philosophy is right, and your philosophy is right, even if they are contradicting. But both of them are right, because mirrors, they do reflect reality. And mirrors can reflect reality with different images. Like, you know, when you go in the circus, there's a room where there are different mirrors, you see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah, the mirror reflects the image as it is created, does not change the image. So philosophy is like mirrors. My philosophy is right and your philosophy is right. We cannot disagree about that, even if they are different. The most important thing that your philosophy suits your internal self, which is your psychology. If it suits you, then that's great. But I cannot force you to use my own philosophy. That's the idea. Yeah.
So with that, we have about 5 minutes left. What kind of suggestions, advice do you give people now that are interested in writing a book, poetry? What is some of your suggestions through doing this book in the process of going from the darkness to the light for somebody who is kind of waking up and realizing they're in the dark?
Okay. First of all, they must utilize their personal experiences. I don't mean that they write about it, but they utilize their personal energy, because when you write something you are feeling about it, it's going to be very powerful. And this is the raw material of inspiration, the things that happen to us. The next step is when you learn more and you discover more things, you will get inspired by the things you newly discovered, not by the raw materials. You know what I mean? Like, for example, if I'm a scientist, I discovered something, okay? The scientist from the next generation is going to build his theories upon mine, if mine are correct. So like this, we are rising higher and higher. You do the same thing with yourself. First, you get inspired by the simplest things around you. Then you get inspired by the deeper things that you have already discovered from your first inspiration. Please remind me, I want to mention the name of my blog again.
Okay. Oh, please, if you would like to mention your book, your blog, how people can get in touch with you. You are on Facebook, like I said, because that is how I got in touch with you. Please, mention it all.
Yeah, okay. My blog, which is recently made, it's called Mahmoud, MAHMOUD, Mansi, MANSI, Critic Reviews, .blogspot.com, without dashes, without spaces, without anything in the middle. And I have my book, my group on Facebook. It's Mahmoud space Mansi, comma, space, and between brackets, native literature. And I'm now writing a new book. It's called Diaries of a Mute Sea. I'm writing about the sea and waves as metaphors of life. So this book is a collection of short stories, and the short stories are all related to one another. So it's like a novel and a collection of short stories at the same time. Each chapter, if read separately, is going to be a short story. Okay, I guess we're running out of time, right?
we have a little more time, just to let people know that his name on my page on BBS Radio for Air, if you click on it, it will go to his blog or his Facebook. I can't remember which one it is. You will be able to get in touch with him if you click on his name. That will always be on my page for some time, so you will be able to get in touch with him. I do highly recommend you get a copy of the book. How can they get a copy of the book? It's on Amazon, correct?
Yeah, Amazon, yeah.
Okay, so check that out on Amazon. And Hamad, I wish you all the best. Good luck with everything that's going on, all the changes in your area. I thank you very much. Many, many blessings. And thank you for honoring me and my audience for being on the show during this time. Good things overall, I think, are coming out of everything that is happening right now. It might be a little scary right now, but it's all for the best and bringing us the kind of peace and love that truly exists within our heart out to the world around us. So I thank you very much again for being on air.
It's really my pleasure, dear Jennifer, to talk to all those readers whom I don't know yet and to talk to you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. And with that, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights in information. Until next time, many blessings and good night.